The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I did not like Will Fuller from the beginning. I thought he was too small. I think he'll get bumped off routes in the league. He catches the ball with his body instead of his hands, which is probably why he drops so many passes.
Yeah, I tend to want to give them the benefit of the doubt with their first round picks because they have hit on just about all of them. I can't believe they moved up a spot. Two guys who are better receivers went right after him. I'm not a fan of this guy. I hope I'm wrong. We talk about Laremy Tunsil a little bit.
Draft comes around and you take off guys who have smoked pot. What are you left with?
There have been other questions about him, so I get that. But if you really took him off your board because that came out,
what other questions were there? I mean, I know he got suspended when he was there because he took money.
That I'm not going to fault the kid for.
He was suspended for improper benefits while he was in school.
Right.
This wasn't like a surprise.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, including that 3 o'clock hour, maybe some of you weren't aware that we were around, all available at podcastarena.com. You'll hear a full breakdown of the Texans' first pick. Texter asked any good value plays tonight at Sam Houston. I honestly, I'm not having a great meet. They're carding the kind of races that I'm not good at, which is basically two-year-old races and maiden races. And so I've not had a great meet. I don't really like anything tonight. I do like tomorrow's card quite a bit, though. So if you're going out there tomorrow night, you can bet with both hands and bet with confidence.
You want to go over some of the guys that are available tonight?
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go here, was start looking at best available and, you know, who might go first. And really, I think you'll see a lot more trades. I think there's some guys still hanging around here that teams might want. And I think you'll see some more teams move up.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few guys still that'll be high on some boards. And really, there's some guys that will be interesting when the Texans pick. You know, I still think there's going to be some decent players on the board then if they're looking at the right guys. Miles Jack, obviously, I think the best player still remaining on the board. He got the thumbs up from Dr. Andrews today, which makes me think that he's not going to last long.
Yeah, although the thumbs up from him also scares me into thinking, maybe he is going to have microfracture surgery at some
really?
Point. Yeah.
So Dr. James Andrews coming out saying he's not going to need microfracture, that would make you think that he's going to?
Yes, it would.
Oh, okay.
Especially after he didn't go in the first round. Now you're trying to get people to draft him in the second round.
Wouldn't think that Dr. Andrews has any skin in that game, does he?
I think he's the one that did the surgery on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does. Sorry, Dr. Andrews, I don't trust you.
Clemson defensive end Kevin Dodd, who I like a lot, but then sometimes I think about him and I wonder if Kevin Dodd is to Jared Crick, or is to Shaq Lawson as Jared Crick was to Ndamukong Suh. If, like, one guy made the other one look really good, because Kevin Dodd was a nobody until this last year and had a fantastic senior year. I just don't know if that's because, you know, when you work on the other side of Shaq Lawson, you don't see double teams,
right?
And things go your way. The other Clemson kid, Mackenzie Alexander, probably the best corner left on the board, and I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite, probably one of my three or four favorite corners that was in this draft, and he's still available. He's probably a little bit, I don't want to say, I'll just say he's a little cocky.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He's a guy who will do some talking on the field and things like that. I don't mind it.
I don't mind that at corner.
Some teams don't like that.
Yeah, I don't mind that at corner. You need to have that chip on your shoulder.
Jerron Reed, who is, to me, I'd probably say, besides Jack, I think he might be the best player still available. Well, I'll leave room for one more of those guys.
Yeah.
I'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah.
But
because he's got a teammate that I think's in that conversation.
Oh, see, I was going to go with a different guy, but we could do that too. And there's a guy who caught a DUI early in, before he even got on the field at Alabama, he caught a DUI, but he's worked through it and has ended up being a beast. He can play defensive tackle. He can play defensive end. 6'3", 307, big, strong dude, and will eat up double teams. I think teams aren't as excited about him because he's not a pass rusher.
Right.
And if you're not a pass rusher now, you're not that sexy. But to me, guys like that are what creates pass rushers. And if you have a guy like that, your pass rushers will thrive. Noah Spence was the guy I was thinking of.
I was thinking of Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, it was another good one.
And A'shaun Robinson, too, is another one that's
yep
available. So there's plenty of defensive linemen available. You've got a really good interior linebacker available. I think Noah Spence goes very early here. Maybe if the Cowboys don't go quarterback, I don't see him getting past the Cowboys because they need pass rushing. Derrick Henry.
Passed all his drug tests.
Yeah, well, that's important. Derrick Henry, somebody will take this round. I think they're going to be disappointed.
I don't know if they'll be as disappointed if they take him this round.
Yeah.
If somebody would have reached on him last round.
Yeah, I think he'll be the next running back to go. I just don't know who's going to be desperate for one. I'd keep an eye on Miami probably. Hunter Henry is, that'll be your first tight end taken. If he's still sitting there at the Texans pick, I would not be surprised if that's the direction they went. And then probably the best offensive tackle left is Jason Spriggs of Indiana. I don't know if he'll last to the Texans pick, but if he does, it's another guy that I'd like to see.
I'd be interested, yeah, for sure.
So,
Shalik Calhoun from Michigan State is still available, who's another guy who's a really great pass rusher. Connor Cook still available, I think probably the best quarterback left on the board. Although Dak Prescott's got there's some interesting things about him as well.
Well, there's several quarterbacks that I think are intriguing at this point. I think Cook is obviously the best of the, or probably the guy who's going to go first. I mean, he's the one that everybody, although you never know, but there are some other guys that Vernon Adams has picked up a lot of. He's been getting a lot of attention lately. He's too small for me and gets hurt too much.
Yeah.
But he's explosive. Jacoby Brissett, we talked about a little bit yesterday, is a guy that I think somebody's going to take a look at. So, and the kid from Arkansas, too, I think we'll get some attention. It may happen over the next 2 days.
Sterling Shepard, another receiver who I think the Texans could have waited around and got would have been a very similar player, although he got shut down by Mackenzie Alexander of Clemson just like Will Fuller did, although his was in the national semifinal. That LaRaven Clark guy is still around, and he's another one. If he's around when the Texans pick, I'd be pretty interested just because now you're getting into some pretty decent value.
Right.
And I still think somebody's gonna be happy when they take Braxton Miller. I don't know how quickly he's going to be great, but I think that's a really versatile player. And, we've seen guys who play quarterback in college and went on to play in the NFL at receiver, Hines Ward and Antoine Randall-El, done some good things. And I think this guy has a chance to be better than those guys. I mean, he's not going to be probably the complete receiver that Hines Ward was, but I think he can be very good. And the fact that he ran a 4.440 at his pro day, that guy's intriguing to me.
Yeah, I think, and to me, that's a guy that a good team takes and stashes and works with. Patriots, Seahawks, the teams that always kind of make the right moves. So I'm looking at some mock potentials here for the second round. They have Browns taking Sua Cravens from USC.
I like that guy. He could play. He'd be a safety. Could be a linebacker. I don't know if that's the best pick for the Browns, but that's
a good pick.
He's a good player. I like him. I should have mentioned him too.
They have the Cowboys taking Kevin Dodd at 34.
Okay. Yeah, they need a pass rusher. Is he going to be what they could have had? No, but could be a good player. I'm not as sold on him, like I said, because of the Shaq Lawson thing, but I wouldn't hate him on that.
Jaron Reed to Kansas City at 37.
I think that's a great value.
Yeah, and he would be really good there. The Giants with Miles Jack at 40.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that.
At 41, Connor Cook to the Bears.
Okay.
Derrick Henry at 42 to the Dolphins, which makes sense. Titans get Sterling Shepard at 43. A'shaun Robinson, a guy we mentioned, they have Titans at 45.
No Reggie Ragland yet?
No, I don't think I've seen him. Emmanuel Ogba, who's not a guy we mentioned, 48 to the Colts.
Okay.
Reggie Ragland to your Buffalo Bills at 49. That would be a terrific pick at that spot. Hunter Henry at 50 to the Falcons. Jason Spriggs at 51 to the Jets, which means both those guys, which I'd love to see with the Texans, go right before they take Justin Simmons from Boston College.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about that pick.
You know what? I'll give you another guy, another name that the Texans, or I'll give you a couple names I wouldn't mind the Texans looking at as far as offensive linemen, and these are interior linemen, so now I wouldn't hate taking a guard or a center as much in the second round as I would have the first, but Christian Westerman from Arizona State, the guard, is a run-blocking monster, and Nick Martin is the Notre Dame center who's Zach Martin's brother.
Yeah, I like him.
And he's a pretty good player, I think.
Yeah, I think at this point, when you take offensive linemen.
Where do they have Hunter Henry going in that mock draft?
They had him to the 50 to the Falcons.
Okay.
Like two spots before the Texans pick. So if the Texans decide they want him, I guess they'd move up again, right? I mean, that's kind of been their
MO.
Do
you think they'd move up twice, two nights in a row?
No, sure they would. They always move up in the second round. But every time they do, it winds up being a disaster. So,
where do you think Jalen Smith goes today?
I think back into the third round.
Okay.
Would be my guess. So, we'll see. 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in. 713-780-3776 is your number.
Dustin sends Ed Werder's tweet, just told by Cowboy source that team could trade down from number 34 to accumulate additional draft picks. Want to focus on building the defense. In that case, take Miles Jack. Build your defense.
Yeah. Or Noah Spence.
Yeah. I'll just say this. If you wanted to focus on defense, you should have taken Jalen Ramsey last night.
Yeah. Well,
But keep running Mo Claiborne out there and pretending like that wasn't a – keep trying to put lipstick on that pig, bro.
I get the thinking that if you have an elite running back, which I do not think this guy's an elite running back, okay? Let me say that first off. But if you think you're getting one – and you're going to run the ball and keep your defense off the field, then it does help your defense. But I don't think he's – I think he'll be a good player for him. But if you're looking for him to be elite, I don't think he's that. One thing he can do, he can block.
Yeah.
And that's an underrated skill.
Last five running backs to go in the top four of the draft.
Okay.
Ezekiel Elliott. Trent Richardson.
Fail.
Darren McFadden.
Fail.
Reggie Bush.
Fail.
Ronnie Brown.
Oof. I mean, Ronnie Brown had some good years, but he wasn't top five.
Yeah, none of those guys ever lived. I mean,
yeah, Reggie Bush was
Reggie
not
Bush
top
had a
five.
Decent career. Darren McFadden still playing in the league, so is Trent Richardson sometimes. But none of those guys ever lived up to being worth a top five pick.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Blue Apron. Man, they have so many great, great meals.
I had it last night.
I did too. Oh, what did you have?
I had the pork, the soy like soy sauce pork. Oh, it was like glazed.
Yeah.
And they had the carrots and the spinach farro salad. Oh, it was perfect.
They had the Grains of Paradise crusted steak last night, which was fantastic. Tonight's going to be the seared chicken. And the cool thing is, man, they give you everything and give you great instructions on how to cook it. Doesn't take long at all, and you're getting great, healthy meals from Blue Apron. And I'm telling you, they know that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you're going to make incredible meals. They set the highest quality standards for the community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. And the cool thing is, man, this is fantastic food and it's less than $10 a meal.
Yeah, I my wife actually shared our link today, turned a lot of people onto it. She posted pictures of our food last night, and a bunch of her friends wanted to know how she made it. And the great thing is, you get a recipe card with it. You can make that recipe as often as you want.
Yeah, you get to keep those, yeah.
Yeah, they've got a great variety. You can choose from a few things that you want to eat every week. Check out this week's menu. You get two free meals with free shipping on your first order by going to blueapron.com/blitz. Free food, free shipping. It's hard to beat that. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Get your two free meals with free shipping today. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. At some point, I've got a really interesting giveaway. Either this segment or the last one that you're really going to want. So, it's kind of a tease. Let's get a phone call in. Jeremy, you are on The Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I'm a huge Cowboys and Ohio State fan, so I'm extremely thrilled about Ezekiel getting picked up by the Cowboys. I think he's due to the whole package. You know, he blocks extremely well, catches the ball out of backfield, so I think he's got a chance to be something special. And I don't know if you saw, but even Emmitt Smith tweeted out today that he thinks that he's even better than he was. So I'm excited about that. And then I wanted to get your thoughts on Noah Spence. He got a bum rap at Ohio State, had some problems with ecstasy, but when he was there, he was just unblockable. And what do you think? We have a chance for the Cowboys are going to pick him up as well. Well, hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, if the Cowboys are looking to trade down in the draft, they're not going to get him. Listen, I'm not saying that I don't like Ezekiel Elliott as a player. I think he's good. I just don't like drafting running backs that high because they're disposable parts.
Unless you know they're special. And that's my – they must think he's – and by the way, I don't care what Emmitt Smith says about anybody. He makes no sense half the time anyway. So
yeah, Emmitt Smith is one of the worst football analysts ever.
Yeah.
I tweeted this last night. My list of running backs that I would take in the top five over the last 15 years was Adrian Peterson, and that's it. And the next closest maybe was Todd Gurley, and even he went 10, you know. And I just think that behind that offensive line, you can find a lot of players that can get you yards. And when your team is as bad defensively as the Cowboys are, you need to prioritize properly. And again, it's not me saying that I don't like Zeke Elliott, because I do. I just think that they would have been better served by bolstering that defense. And I got into some discussion last night about, well, when you have a run game like theirs, it takes a lot of pressure off the defense. Well, that's true. When you have a defense like theirs, you often have a useless running game because you're playing from behind all the time. So it's a chicken and egg thing. If you're going to be one of those teams that's built on the run, which with that offensive line, it seems like that's what they'd like to eventually become, is a run-oriented offense, and they had to without Tony Romo. But you have to have a good defense to go along with it, or it just doesn't work.
I don't mind it as much, because obviously they judged him to be that kind of player, and I like him. To me, if this is next year and Leonard Fournette goes in the top five, I'm not going to complain about that. That's a different kind of creature.
He's close for me. I'll have to see what he does.
I mean, as of today, I mean, and the only other guy that I would have thrown in that conversation was the kid from South Carolina that blew out his
Lattimore.
Knee. He looked like that. But that's why, you know, I think. Somebody asked, can you guys explain to the listeners between the difference between bad players and bad picks? Seems to be some confusion there. None of these guys are bad players. I mean, some of them are not worth where they go, but almost everybody who went last night was going to get drafted somewhere in this draft. In fact, everybody was.
Everybody that got drafted last night would have been drafted in the first two rounds.
Yeah, so these are not bad players. It's just what the way you allocate your resources, the way you make your picks is what determines whether or not it's a good pick or not. Now, in the Texans' case, I think you could have gotten a similar player much cheaper. So, again, it's about value. So, that's okay. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, it wasn't Dallas's team on the field for more than half the game last year. We also didn't have Tony Romo. And I do think if...
Yeah, but are you counting on a full season of healthy Tony Romo?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If he's not, then it really doesn't matter who your running back is.
No.
I got to tell you. So... Ian says, with that crop top shirt he wore, Elliott should have dropped out of the first round.
I didn't like that at all.
No.
I don't like that shirt.
No. That's, but hey, whatever works for you, man. So, anyway, let's, I want to squeeze in one more call here before we get to RJ Bell, but we're still working on, negative Nolan. Why not? Let's get negative Nolan on.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yep, sports.
Hey, I was just wondering, since the Rams got a quarterback now, I was wondering what you guys thought about trading David Watt for Case Keenum. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. It's a busy day, Nolan.
Come on, man. Really? That was a fail. Well, I don't know. I don't want to end it on that. Let's try Riley. What's up, Riley? Hello, Riley.
Hey, sports.
Okay, sports.
Go.
I have two problems with the Texans draft picks, and I just tuned in, so forgive me if I'm repeating something you already said, but problem A, philosophically, you have DeAndre Hopkins on your team, so if you're drafting a wide receiver in the first round, you're saying we're drafting this guy to be our number two receiver. And to me, that just really, bugs me. I don't know why you would do that. Now, secondly, after this year, DeAndre Hopkins is going to sign a big contract. So even if this guy turns out to be a great stud number one receiver, are you going to sign him to a big contract a few years later? I don't know many teams that are doing that where they sign two big receivers like that. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Well, that's part of what I said about it, why I didn't want a receiver, because you technically have a number one receiver, and if I'm drafting a receiver in the first round, I want him to be a number one receiver.
Yeah.
If everything is set and the world is perfect, you could get a second guy who's like a 1A receiver, which, first of all, don't get me started in thinking, I don't think Will Fuller is.
No.
That.
No.
But let's say your team is perfect and that's what he is. Okay, the Texans are far from that, though. They've got plenty of holes they could have filled before. This is buying big, stupid spinning wheels when your passenger's door is primer colored and your muffler fell off 60,000 miles ago.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far with it. I mean, I think if there was a clear thing that they could have drafted there, I mean, I maybe you could have drafted one of those defensive tackles. I'd say that, but I mean, I got to see what they do with the rest of their draft.
Fred,
I just
not
don't
a
like
clear
the player.
Thing, trade down.
Well, that's what I would have done. I wouldn't have traded up to get the guy. Here we go. I'm going to give something away. You're going to win two tickets to the USA Basketball Showcase presented by Verizon. You've seen them battle each other. Imagine what they can do together. USA Basketball Showcase will feature the USA Basketball Men's National Team playing the 2015 FIBA Africa Zone Champion Nigeria. Monday, August 1st at Toyota Center. Tickets are on sale now. Visit HoustonToyotaCenter.com to purchase yours today. Caller 15. You are going to go see Team USA. Be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. All the time.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. And you know what that music means. It's time for RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you? Are you enjoying the draft, my friend?
I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I am such, it's the only team I root for with a childhood passion, you know, like you did as a kid, is the Steelers. And, you know, I'm an Ohio State grad. I root for the Buckeyes. It's just not the same. You know, it's just the Steelers. And I really did not like that pick last night.
I didn't either. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I knew you guys wanted William Jackson, who went right before him, and he goes to the Bengals of all people. That had to suck.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not sure. Again, you never know with the Steelers who they would have drafted. But it just seems like I mean, this is a team that's taken like, you know, seven cornerbacks in the last 4 years, and literally have hardly hit on any of them. And now you're reaching in the first round for a corner. I mean, the only time you reach is when you feel like your scouting is, you know, so superior that you see something that others don't. Well, Pittsburgh, I think, has proven in many positions they tend to, you know, understand the draft better than the average team. But a cornerback, I would say they don't. Now, you might say, the math guys out there might say, well, seven guys, it's just, you know, the statistical sample is so low, you don't know how good they are at corner. Yeah, maybe so, maybe not. But, man, that really felt like a reach.
RJ, I know this is something you're very passionate about, and I wanted to ask you about it because the talk of the Raiders moving to Vegas, obviously, I think would be a great move. And I can't wait till there's a hockey team there for a lot of reasons. But there are people who have, you know, kind of poo-pooing it. I know you've kind of gotten some attention for your take on this. I'd sure like you to – I'd like our listeners to hear it, what you think of the NFL in Las Vegas.
Well, I think it's a situation where the math doesn't really matter. And we just talked about the math guys and, you know, the contrast between a gut feeling approach to life and a mathematical approach. And typically, the smarter you are, the more math-based you are. Not always, but typically. And then what you get is a bunch of people on Twitter that, you know, ended up having, you know, a math degree at some middle school, and now they work as a data analyst making $38,000 a year, but somehow because they understand regression of the mean, they're so smart, and Charles Barkley is dumb. And it's just like, yeah, maybe Barkley isn't very learned in certain ways, but Barkley certainly has, for example, analyzing the NBA and sabermetrics, a lot of insight the math guys don't have. So that comes to this Vegas thing. I have no idea what the tax base is if the Raiders come in and all the different mathematical ways. Well, it's going to take 7 years to amortize this, and I don't care. What I care about is that the amount of money we're talking about is modest enough. And again, millions of dollars isn't modest for an individual, but for a city, Vegas has a $1 trillion brand. Literally, I mean, what would you say, $100 billion brand? That doesn't sound right. They have a $1 trillion brand. And to me, there's nothing this city could do to step from being a curiosity. Right now, that's what Vegas is, right? If you love Vegas, oh, Vegas, baby. But otherwise, Vegas is a curiosity. And almost like, you know, I grew up near Pennsylvania, and there was Old Williamsburg, right? I don't know if you guys ever heard of this, but it was this town that they didn't change since like the 1700s. So you could go visit. And I knew about it, right? I never wanted to go. My mom made us. But it was a curiosity. I think for a lot of the country, that's what Vegas is. But if you get here in Vegas a professional team in the NFL, of all things, to me, that now we're Vegas is one of the biggest and most important cities in the country because they've got everything else. And I know I'm monologuing here, but I really feel passion for this because you know what it's like? It's like, you know, one thing I've always felt on the radio, I've always been very lucky that when I've had big opportunities, you know, SportsCenter, whatever, I've done pretty well. And because of that, they've wanted me back, right? But imagine all the average radio guys or average TV guys or below average that had a hit on SportsCenter and it never came to nothing because people would watch and go, okay, move on, right? to me, Vegas is like the awesome local radio guy that gets a chance to do a week nationally, because then everyone's going to perk up and say, wow, that these guys are awesome. Maybe we should do more with them nationally, right? But if you have an average guy that gets a chance nationally, it comes and it goes. And to me, if Vegas gets a chance to take that step and now people start coming that wouldn't typically come to see a game, they're going to leave saying, wow, that was better than I thought. So I think brand-wise, I think for the growth of the city and also for sports betting, to prove that you can have sports betting right next to the team, I think for all three areas, it'd be a gigantic upside. And if we're fighting over $75 million bucks or whatever the math is, I think it'd be a mistake and short-sighted for Vegas.
I agree 100%, my friend. I was actually kind of hoping that the NHL would get in there first, which I think they may still, although you won't have a team before the Raiders would move there, because I think that's a sport that needs to embrace gambling more. And I don't know if you've been in that arena yet, but that's going to be a perfect place for a hockey team too. And I think somebody has to be first. And if the Raiders are there, that's great. But I think if it maybe gets announced that you're going to have an expansion team in hockey before that, maybe it helps. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, right? But to me, the gambling is so inconsequential in hockey, it's a non-factor. And I would make the following case. Now, first off, I'm not a hockey fan, right? So let's start there. But I would make the following case. If you take a casual sports fan that doesn't follow hockey and ask them, yes, no, is there a team in Columbus? Is there a team in Phoenix? Is there a team in Austin? Right? No. Is I think that the average sports fan might be 50%, you know, making those guesses.
Yeah.
And or maybe 70, right? So, I mean, to me, they wouldn't even, after the big, you know, hubbub initially, a lot of people wouldn't know Vegas even had a hockey team. NFL is just a whole different level. So I agree, if it was hockey or nothing, I'll take hockey. But to me, is I would say the NFL team would be 20 or 30 times more impactful to the city. And thus, you know, and plus, you know, I would look at it like Bill Simmons does with the Clippers, right? He always talks about he's not a Clipper fan, but he buys the ticket so he gets a chance to see all the teams come through town. Well, in the NFL, you don't play every team, but I would certainly buy the tickets to be able to, you know, see the 8 games a year, the teams that came in, not counting the preseason or, you know, playoffs potentially. Is and to me, as a fan, I would enjoy it. But I think as an advocate for Las Vegas, I think it'd be even bigger.
Well, what about the NBA? Would that not do the same thing, and without the additional cost of building a new stadium? Because that stadium could easily hold an NBA team. Do you not think that would bring the same
not the same sort, but now you do the math. I think that when it comes as a fan, I think I'd enjoy it more, because I'm a believer that the incremental difference between watching a NFL game at home and in a stadium is, I would make the case, it's borderline net negative in the stadium at this point, right? Other than the fact, and you guys get to see a lot of games. If there's a game you really wanted to see, but it wasn't like a game you were going to tell your kids that, oh, I saw that. You know, like I saw the Steelers beat Arizona in the Super Bowl. It's the only Super Bowl I've ever been to. I probably would have enjoyed that game more as a fan watching it with a big screen TV, but it's very cool to talk about and have been at that game, right? So other than that, if it's just the enjoyment of viewing, do you guys like being at the state? Now, you guys might be in the VIP, you know, eating the sushi and all that stuff, but if you're an average fan in the stands, do you want to be there or do you want to be at home in the NFL?
In the NFL, I mean, listen, for me, honestly, RJ, I always want to be at home. I watch every game at home. I'm fine with that. I'm not one of these guys who has to be at the stadium to feel like I'm part of the action. I'm more than happy to sit on my couch. Fred is a different animal. He may want to be there.
No, I like sitting on my couch, too.
So my point is, I think in the NFL, you guys, I think a lot of people agree with that, right? And again, you got the tailgate and then all the camaraderie part, but I still think a lot of people would rather be at home. In the NBA, I think anyone that's seen a game with decent seats feels like it's a much better experience. Now, would you guys agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's same with hockey.
Hockey is much better in person. NFL game.
You know, so as a fan, the idea of getting to see, you know, I'm a big Spurs fan, for example, when it comes to the NBA, not up to the Steelers, but that's the team, you know, with Duncan and Pop I root for, is I would love, I mean, getting to see them twice a year, you know, or more if the team was in the West, which I guess in theory you'd think it would be.
Yeah.
So I hadn't really thought of that. So to me, that would be awesome, right? Now, when it came to the city of Vegas, I think NBA is probably 10 times bigger than NHL when it comes to the brand impact for the city. But I also think that the NFL would still be double or triple as big of an impact.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that the other thing about the NFL, more so than those other sports, because it's fewer games, so many people are always going through there that I think you'd never have problems with selling tickets, because even if somebody from Ireland, they're going to be, oh, the Raiders are in town and there's tickets available, I'm going to go. I mean, I don't know exactly what the tourist numbers are every weekend, but there's always plenty of people there. I don't think there'd be any problem with tickets.
Oh, my God. I mean, think about it like this. If you think about the way that, like, Guns N' Roses, you guys saw Guns N' Roses, right?
Yeah.
But is, I think it was Motley Crue a while back, and then obviously you've got, you know, a lot of people that do this, is they'll come and do like 3 months in Vegas, right? Is Celine Dion or whatever, and even longer in some cases, right? But it's a situation where, oh, Celine's playing from February to, you know, whatever, April, and, oh, there's going to be 45 shows or whatever, and, you know, we got to get out there. You know, this is the guy in Boston or the gal in Boston that's a big fan, is we got to get out there. And they plan their trip around that, right? To me, if you're a fan of a team that doesn't live in that city, and that's an interesting question. What percentage of NFL fans that would really care if their team won or lost? Let's set that as a criteria. They lose a playoff game and they're not in a good mood the next day. That's the standard. What percentage of fans live within a 2-hour drive, would you say, of the city that the team is in that they're a fan of?
I mean, it depends on the team. I mean, I think there's Cowboy, Packer, Steeler fan all over the place. But
wouldn't we make the case 30 or 40% probably aren't that close?
Probably so, yeah.
So if you – I'm a Steeler fan, right? Now, I'm in Vegas, but if I lived in Houston, I was a Steeler fan. If I had to go visit the – and I wanted to travel to see one game, wouldn't it be so much more appealing to come to Vegas for that destination game than fly into Pittsburgh?
Yes, and if you –
I agree.
I mean, if you're doing that, oh, I want to go see one road game this year for my team, what road game would you want to trip – what road trip would you want to make where you've got – cheap flights out there, cheap hotels. It's a great spot to have to go watch a road game.
Oh, why, it's the best spot. And you make another point. Vegas has the infrastructure. And imagine the Super Bowl in Vegas, right? The Pro Bowl in Vegas, right? And, you know, one of the bad things is when the NBA came here for the All-Star game, there was a couple incidents, and it's like, okay, but there was incidents in New York, you know, with the Hawks or whatever last year. But does that mean Manhattan's not a good city? I mean, if you get, you know, rich alpha males, you're going to have incidents inevitably, right? But to me, is you always hear about Indianapolis. You know, that Steelers Super Bowl was in Tampa. It didn't have the infrastructure for a Super Bowl, right? Did Indianapolis? But Vegas has the infrastructure for anything. I mean, not the Olympics, you know, because it's all about the stadiums. But any place where they got a place to play the game, they've got the rest of the infrastructure.
That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Great stuff, my friend, as always. Appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you next week when we'll be back in, shocker, Las Vegas.
Oh, love it. We'll have to try to get together.
Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, RJ. All right. Quick break, one segment left in the show. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, if you're not thinking about Mother's Day, you need to be thinking about it because it's right around the corner. And we got you covered, though, Sherry's Berries. If you have not tried these, now is the time. She's going to love them. And I guarantee you all of the things that you did when you were a kid to annoy your mom, when you can make up for it with these berries, man, they're fantastic. It's just such a cool-looking gift, too, and they taste terrific. It's time to get something for her, and not just your mother, but the mother of your children. Man, Sherry's Berries is going to show that you care, and right now you can get freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping, or for today only, just for the Blitzers, double the berries for $5 more. All you have to do is go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in our code Fred and AJ.
As always, they're dipped in milk, white, and dark chocolatey goodness, topped with the chocolate chips, the nuts, the swizzles. They're always juicy, always fresh, always delicious. You pick the delivery date, it's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction, guaranteed, or your money back. It's a win-win, guys. My wife loves getting these things. My mom loves getting them. Let me tell you, every woman is going to love getting Sherry's Berries. Here's the only way to get this great deal. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at just $19.99 or double the berries for just $5 more. It's an exclusive offer just for you guys when you use the code Fred and AJ. Go to berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in Fred and AJ. That's berries.com. Click on the mic. Enter our code Fred and AJ. The deal is for today only, and Mother's Day is next week, so make sure you order now. That's berries.com.
Don't bless me, Father.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream your favorite show live on the go. How's that? Or listen to us at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store. Download today. Don't have an iPhone or Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Draft round three coverage begins in, 8 minutes now. And, of course, we've got all kinds of cool stuff on the weekend, too. But let's close the show the way we close it every Friday with a little stupid stuff.
Yeah? Stupid stuff we've said this week.
I guess the big scene at the end, though, is what everybody's talking about with the Red Witch. My girl. A lot of people were asking me, would you still? As long as she's wearing the pendant, yeah.
What if you're going at it and you knock the pendant off mid-thrust?
I put it back on.
It's too late. It fell on. It's under the bed.
No,
now.
I'll crawl out of the bed and get it and put it back on.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/team. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. Oh, play. Never mind. I'm the worst at this. Actually, I don't know why I'm even working here. I think you're right. They've kind of worked their way past that.
You all right there? Kind of caught you right in the middle of a thought.
Yeah.
So it's not like I could even jump in and finish it for you. Because
I'm dying.
Don't die.
I ate mixed nuts earlier. Always a mistake. I feel like nuts are a healthy snack.
Yeah.
But it never works out for me.
Ryan says, if we're talking all time, Selig was the worst commish, at least in my lifetime. In person, that guy's sharp as a tack. He wasn't personable, he wasn't very outgoing, and not very well-spoken. That's what the public sees. But if you actually look at some of the decisions he made, he really wasn't all that bad.
And that's Fred's take on George W. Bush.
Now stop. Stop.
You're kind of saying they're the same guy, though.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. When I had to go to that Nickelback concert, I'd heard every single song they sang. I didn't know who sang them, but never heard more than 20 seconds
but
of it.
But you did throw up rock fingers
I did
at
not.
The
stop,
show.
Stop.
And
stop.
You lit your lighter.
Stop spreading that evil, okay? It's a falsehood. It's incorrect. I kind of hid. I pulled my hoodie over my head so nobody would recognize me.
They all recognize you.
You are allowed to sodomize someone in Oklahoma now. Like, you know, I could paint a mustache on you, you know, with my trunk, and you couldn't do anything about it if you were
with
out.
Your what?
my man parts with my paint brush.
Hey, John McClain says, what are the odds the Texans draft Corey Coleman? And if they do, what are the odds I get a big Baylor boner?
Hopefully you get permission before you use that thing.
Well, I would think fake John McClain would know before me. That's got to make stupid stuff, right?
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We said the squeak.
Oh, it was such a good line.
I wish you would have caught it immediately.
It took me a second. It was one of those grenade jokes. And about 5 seconds later, I realized, oh, holy bleep, that was funny. All right. That's going to wrap it up, man. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy your weekend. Avoid the storms, hopefully. Great job, Jong Lee, as always. Great job, AJ Hoffman, as always. Pretty solid job by me today. Almost a C. Almost. Till Monday. Stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.